Let's take some time together to pray today. In Romans chapter 8, it says, "Now in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now, if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Let's pray. Precious Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege you give to us to talk with you as family in Christ. We're grateful, Lord, for the privilege to come into your throne room and know that even though we're not in the same room together here, our prayers are in the throne room at the same time. And so we pray together, Lord, asking for your work in our lives and in our nation, in our world. Lord, I pray for our leaders. Our national leaders, our state leaders, our local leaders. I ask, Lord, that you would, by your Spirit, be at work in their lives, that they would make good decisions guided by you, God. Whether they're seeking you or not, you put the thoughts in their minds, Lord, and be glorified when they do what you want. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with our family in Christ, near or far, whether it's our denomination or not. That you would be with our Lakeview Chapel family. Lord, use us to make a difference in our world, to be the witnesses you've called us to be, testifying of the amazing things that you've done in our lives, no matter where we are, no matter how we have to do it differently now. Use us, Lord, for your glory. I ask, Father, that you'll be with our family. Lord, in this time when we're separated from family and friends, when we feel isolated and alone, I ask, Lord, that you would be at work in each of our lives, that you would guide and protect those that we love physically, that they would make good decisions, and that you would protect us, Lord, from this virus. We also pray that you would guide us and protect us spiritually so that none of this will affect our faith in you except to make it stronger and deeper as we seek you. Lord, we seek you. We know that your word promises that when we seek, we'll find. And so, Lord, I ask that you would be real and available to each of us every moment of every day. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it always, Father, because we trust these things into your hands and your care for your glory. Amen. Well, today's Palm Sunday. This is the day that we rejoice and remember when Jesus entered Jerusalem on a donkey to begin Holy Week. Here's how John described it in John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. "The next day, when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to meet him. They kept shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it was written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.' His disciples did not understand these things at first. However, when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Meanwhile, the crowd, which had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, they continued to testify. This is also why the crowd met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. And then the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see, we've accomplished nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him.'" On Palm Sunday, we remember how the people of Jerusalem rolled out the red carpet. This was the red carpet treatment for Jesus. It was a flash mob singing and shouting praise and adoration to God for Jesus, his son. And it was all lining up with what the Old Testament prophecies had said about the coming Messiah. But it wasn't just about fulfilling prophecy. Jesus was a celebrity in the eyes of many because they had seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. And if they hadn't seen it, they had heard it from someone who had. In verse 17, another manuscript puts that same verse this way, that meanwhile the crowd which had been with him continued to testify that he had called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead. Word of that was spreading fast, as you can imagine. That would be a hard one to keep a secret. Jesus was absolutely amazing, having even power over death. His teaching was always powerful and life-changing. He was approachable. Why, women and children were even able to talk to him. He had healed the deaf and the blind. He had made lame men walk again. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and he walked out of the tomb at Jesus' command. Even the stuffy old Pharisees who hated him admitted, the world has gone after him. It must have been an amazing sight to see that Palm Sunday. And it's good for us to remember that day as an important part of Jesus' life. But I think there's more to it than just a remembrance for us. There's something here for you and I that goes beyond thinking about what happened way back then. Something that should lead us to change our hearts and our actions today as well. So let's go back to one of the Old Testament prophecies that were included in John's description and look closely at what was behind the praise and the adoration back then to help us see what motivates us to do the same today. Here's where I want us to read from Psalm 118. As I said earlier, you'll need to have your Bibles out and follow along with this because I want you to pay attention. Because as we read this psalm, listen for the verses that resonate with you and your current situation. You'll find some of the things the psalmist writes about are like, oh, yeah, I get it. I see that in my life too. What here in Psalm 118 echoes in your heart as something that you have seen God do for you in your life? Or maybe it's something that you're asking God to do in your life right now. So listen with that in mind as we read from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let Israel say, his faithful love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his faithful love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his faithful love endures forever. I called to the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, and he put me in a spacious place. The Lord is for me. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? The Lord is my helper. Therefore, I will look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in humanity. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in nobles. All the nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I destroyed them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I destroyed them. They surrounded me like bees. They were extinguished like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I destroyed them. They pushed me hard to make me fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. There are shouts of joy and victory in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. The Lord's right hand is raised. The Lord's right hand performs valiantly. I will not die, but I will live and proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord disciplined me severely, but did not give me over to death. Open the gates of righteousness for me. I will enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. The righteous will enter through it. I will give thanks to you, God, because you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This came from the Lord. It is wondrous in our sight. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, save us. Hosanna! Lord, please grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. From the house of the Lord, we bless you, God. The Lord is God and has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Were you able to see any of the things that the psalmist was talking about that meant something to you, that echoed in your heart as something you had seen God do in your life, or something that you're asking for right now? Was there things that were said that resonated with you and your current situation? That's what we want to look at today. There's a lot of conjecture as to who wrote this psalm and on what occasion, and no one knows for sure. What we do know is that it's a psalm of thanksgiving, giving glory to God for what he has done and for who he is. It was a psalm that was to be employed in the temple when an offering or sacrifice was led up to the altar. Verse 27 in that psalm reminds us of that. That these were to be presented as an acknowledgement of mercy from God on some occasion of deliverance from danger. Or maybe by someone whose claim to rule had been rejected, but who was now victorious over his enemies and recognized as the rightful leader and ruler of his people. Which reminds us, this is why this psalm was important on Palm Sunday, as Jesus rode victoriously into Jerusalem. But whoever wrote this psalm was speaking in the first 21 verses, and then again the last two. But in between, the priests and the people add their voices, shouting out, Hosanna, which means literally, Lord, save us. When you think of it that way, it's a prayer. Oh, Lord, save us. But at the same time, it is also meaning that the Lord is our salvation, which is a praise. So it's a prayer and a praise all blended together. Hosanna, Hosanna. Which makes sense when you believe that what you ask of God according to his will, because of his faithfulness, we know he will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 reminds us of that, that he who calls you is faithful. He will do it. As we read this psalm, which verses resonated with you or your current situation? Was there something here that echoed in your heart that you've seen God accomplish in your life, or something that you're asking him to do? I ask that because those things that resonated with you, those things that echoed in your heart, that is what brings you to the crowd on Palm Sunday, waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna to Jesus. Those things that you're thinking of now, that is your story of the power and grace and love of Jesus in your life. just like the people that had seen Lazarus raised from the dead. They had seen God's power in Jesus. They had seen His grace and His love so freely and clearly that they couldn't help but shout praise to Him. They were there, as it says, to testify. So when you think of your story, testify. That's why we cry out, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. We're reminded as we think of Palm Sunday each year that many people in Jerusalem that day, when Jesus rode into town, may have just been caught up in the excitement without fully committing to follow Jesus wherever He led them. I mean, it was a crowd, it was a parade, and sometimes you just get caught up in it without really understanding why. And we know that happened because just days later, the same crowds were shouting, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" I bring that up because I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want us to be one of those people who are praise and worship one day when the music's good and the Word of God is fresh on our minds and we're shouting, "Hosanna!" But then life happens. And the Word of God that once was fresh on our mind is not really alive in our hearts anymore. And indifference settles in. And you stop seeing Jesus as the victorious King. You forget that He's the rightful leader and ruler of your life. And you see Him just as something extra that you do on Sunday. And when that happens, your cry of Hosanna falls silent. Because you don't remember how He saved you. And maybe you even wonder if He ever would deliver you when days go bad. When that happens, it won't be long before you too will turn your palm branches in for pitchforks and be part of the crowd that turns away completely from praise and prayer to condemn. Because even if you never curse Him aloud, your silence shouts just the same, "He's not my King." Is He a king at all? I don't want to be one of those people. I don't want us to be those people. Because Jesus reminds us, "For whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when He comes in His glory." So take some time right now and throughout the day to remember those things that we just thought of a moment ago when we were reading Psalm 118. Remember how you've seen Jesus answer you in your distress. Remember how Jesus has provided for you in your need. Remember how Jesus has protected you, maybe from those who seek your downfall, either physically or spiritually. Remember Jesus, who answered you and became your salvation. When you take the time and make the effort to remember those things, and that's what it requires, time and effort. Satan will do everything he can to block that in our lives, to distract us from what Jesus is doing and lead us astray, to stop us from remembering and cause us to focus on other things. So take the time, make the effort to remember who Jesus is and what he has done. And when you do, you'll naturally join with the redeemed who shout, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you." Palm Sunday is the day when people lined the road and raucously rejoiced, publicly proclaimed. They sang and shouted and actively adored the one that they saw as their salvation. This was the one who could even raise people from the dead. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Would anyone accuse us of being a part of that crowd? Maybe we need to take the time and be intentional about remembering what it is that Jesus has done in your life. Maybe we need to take the time and be intentional to remember who he is. And then let the people of our nation see how we live our lives and say, "His faithful love endures forever." Let your house, the people who are close to you and around you all the time, allow them to see Jesus so clearly in you that they will say, "Oh yes, his faithful love endures forever." But it's got to begin in your heart. Are you one who recognizes that Jesus is your Lord and says, "Oh yeah, I know his faithful love endures forever"? Let's pray. Precious Father God, we ask that everyone would be able to see your church, the body of believers who are following you. May everyone around us see Lakeview Chapel living the good news, testifying of who you are and what you've done in our lives. May it be so clear, Lord, that they will say, "Hey, this has got to be real. Look, the whole world has gone after Jesus." Oh, Father, let that be said of us. Shape us and mold us into men and women who exalt Jesus. Because you are good. Your faithful love endures forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen.